Tonight we're going to look at the passage I just read, which is an amazing passage in the book of James. If you want to turn to James 1, that's where we're going to be. And the reason why I think this is such an incredible passage for us is I don't think I've ever taught on the book of James before, but as I was studying it and getting ready and preparing, what I realized is that James is writing to a group of Jewish Christians that have been scattered across the world, and they're having some problems in their personal lives. I'm going to describe some of the problems in their personal lives and even within the church to you. It's for one, they were going through trials and tests. Sounds slightly familiar. Two, they were facing temptations to sin in different ways. Their tongue, they were having trouble controlling their tongue. They were having trouble with anger. They were having trouble with worldliness, which just simply means like they didn't look that much different from the people around them. Sounds slightly familiar. And then the third thing, and maybe the most familiar thing to this Baylor bubble, this Christian college that we attend, this university, as we deal with cultural Christianity, we're like in Bible class, we're in chapel, we do all these things for all these different reasons. The third reason why they were, what they were wrestling with, another thing was that they were failing to live what they professed they believed. Like there was a disconnect between what they were saying and what they were doing that we're going to look at tonight in the scriptures. As we finish our series, How Do We Change the World? Hey Siri, how do we change the world? What we've been seeing is we don't need to turn to culture and Siri. We need to turn to the scriptures, and there's very clear paths for how we as followers of Jesus can change the world. We're going to look at three R's today. They're just really like buckets to think about tonight. And the first thing we're going to look at is a rebuke. And then we're going to see the reasons why there was a rebuke, which is what they didn't receive and how they didn't respond. I just read you the text. That's where we're going to be. Starting in verse 19, I'm going to reread it. James is saying, know this, my beloved brothers. He's like, hey, pay attention. I'm going to zero in on this. He's saying, don't miss this. Be quick to hear. I feel like I grew up like memorizing, be quick to listen. So it kind of throws me off. Anyways, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and be slow to angry. Or to anger, excuse me. Be slow in your words too, excuse me. All right, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's stop here. Let's look at the first bucket, which is this rebuke. James is saying, zero in, like pay attention. And he's saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Let's stop right here. Are you quick to listen and slow to speak? Like this is a great rebuke for you and me. And I'm just going to start the night by just admitting, I don't shut up. I talk all the time. I'm like annoying. If talking were a sport, I'd be like semi-professional. Like that's me. And during an election, all the more. I could tear apart both sides. It's like, it's in me. It's in my bones to talk. I love people. It's very challenging that I don't shut up and I have too many opinions and ideas. If you get me on a rant, I'll preach at you unsolicited, even if you don't ask for it. Too often, I speak just to be heard by others. So as we are given this rebuke, be quick to listen and slow to speak, it hits home for me. Like I'm talking to you right now. Think about how dangerous that is. It's saying be quick to listen and slow to speak, and I'm speaking to you in this moment. If this is a ditch that I sometimes turn to, then I have to be really, really careful about these moments where I am teaching, where I'm speaking about God's word, and I have to be very careful to not make it about me, but rather make it about Christ himself. Because we're bad listeners. We love to talk. We love to hear ourselves, and I'm the chief of sinners. And the third thing it says, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. The third thing It's not that there's actually a difference between angers, and the anger that this is talking about, just for clarity, is the quick-tempered. It's the selfish, worldly anger. And I've actually been learning how to be slow to anger this whole semester, and this might resonate with you. I'll just admit it, like, even just last week, I felt like God was undoing anger that was deep within my heart towards Baylor. Sounds crazy, but I mean it sincerely. Like, I had this wrestle and this tension that we went to a football game with 10,000 people, but Vertical couldn't gather with 10 people. And I legitimately have had anger this whole semester. And finally, God was working in my life last week, and then we met with Baylor on Friday, and they were like, Dale, do you know that the county that we're in has one of the highest death rates in the whole state of Texas because of the pandemic? And I was like, man, I didn't know that. I've been really mad about not being able to meet, and I just didn't know. There's reasons for the caution. I understand the pandemic, but it didn't seem to make sense with the football game and the Bible study. It just didn't seem to, and I was very quick to speak. I wasn't listening, and I was very angry. It's something I've been wrestling with. And the problem with that anger wasn't just that it was going to become a problem between me and the university as I'm leading the organization of Vertical. What really is the problem here is far bigger. I'd venture to say in verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is a way bigger deal than a relationship with the university. It's that the anger that I had that was unhealthy was that it wasn't producing the righteousness of God. And in the scriptures, there's different ways we can look at the righteousness of God. This is using and talking about the righteousness of God that we find in Isaiah 61, where it talks of us becoming oaks of righteousness. In Psalm 1, where we become like trees planted by streams of water that bear fruit in season. This, if you want to do some homework, read Isaiah 61. It's beautiful. It's this righteousness of God that builds up and raises up and repairs. It changes things. And you know what happens? Anger doesn't produce that righteousness. Like, it seems to me that anger keeps us from producing the righteousness of God that can actually change the people around us. It keeps us from bearing fruit. And so James gives a rebuke to his people. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Not just to behavior modify, but because it's keeping us from living in the way that God has designed us to live. And verse 21 is where we get to our next portion. First the rebuke, and then the rebuke comes because of something that hasn't been rightly received. And what we see in the scriptures here in verse 21, James is saying, therefore put it all away. Put away all the filthiness and the rampant wickedness. Like, all the sin, which anger is included in, all the selfishness, all these different things, you put it away, and what do we replace it with? We receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So we receive something. And before we get to the what we receive, I want you and I to see how we receive it. It says, receive with meekness. What a word we never use anymore, right? Like, I can't tell you the last time I used the word meek in a sentence in normal life, right? Meekness. It's another, your actually version of the Bible might say humility, receive with humility, receive with gentleness. You see, before we talk about what we receive, it's the how. The how we receive is we receive with meekness. And it's not weakness. This isn't a weakness. It's actually, in some ways, it's a bridled strength. Think about a horse who has a bit and a bridle, right? Horses are these really strong creatures. I was just at a ranch this weekend. I was around horses. This I don't know, $1,000 poodle, or what is it called, sheep poodle, whatever they're called, I don't know what they're called, like this really expensive dog started running around the horses, and all of us started freaking out because we're like, dude, little poodle dog, whatever it was, sheep-a-doodle, that's what it was. Thank you for no one that told me that. Sheep-a-doodle. We're like yelling at the sheep-a-doodle to get out of the pen with the horses, because if the horse bucks, man, that dog is not going to look the same. All right, let me just put it that way. I don't want to go into much detail, but I've seen it happen, and it ain't pretty. Why? Because they're very, very powerful creatures. They're so strong, but they have a bit and a bridle that control them. And in the same way, that's the picture that's used in the Beatitudes of the word meek. You see, meek isn't weakness. It's rather strength under control. And so what we need to do to receive is have strength under control. And in fact, what I love about this is this same word for meekness, Jesus only speaks of himself. When he talks about his heart, he uses two words. In Matthew 11, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. The word gentle is the same word that's used for meek here. Jesus himself was meek. Jesus himself was gentle, which means Christ. Let's just talk about Jesus for a second. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The one whom, by whom all things were made. The one who didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. He's like, I'm all powerful. I created everything. But even though that's the case, I'm going to come down to flesh, which is a huge demotion. He gives up his entire life for the sake of others, not just in his daily activities, but even on the cross on our behalf. He rises from the dead, rose from the dead. I don't know, past tense, present, I don't know what it was. He rose from the dead. He was dead. Now he's alive, right? Like, that's Jesus. When he's speaking of himself, he's like, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He's saying, you can come to me. Anyone who's weary and heavy laden, you can come to me. There's a gentleness, a meekness, a humility that Christ himself was our perfect example. And that's the good news of the gospel, that Jesus was gentle and meek and humble enough to die for us. He didn't deserve to die. But in his gentleness and meekness and bridled strength, I would say, he died on our behalf. And that's good news. And so what James is telling all these Jewish Christians that have been scattered, he's saying, you must receive with meekness. It takes gentleness and humility and meekness to receive. And what do we receive? See in the scriptures. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The implanted word. So what we're receiving is God's word. I love this. This is scripture, the Bible. This is it. Like, this is how you receive it. This is what you receive. You receive it with meekness, and you receive the Bible. This is a beautiful thing. You see, what's leading us to anger is and sin, and all these different things can be replaced. There's this alternative. Put away all the filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. That is what changes us. But too often, we lack the meekness, we lack the humility to rightly receive scripture. Just think about, like, maybe even where you're at right now. Like, you were doing homework, you were doing all these things, you were busy, busy, busy leading up to even listening to this. Whether you're listening on a podcast or you're streaming in right now, like, just think about how distracted you might have been, and then you had to sit down and sing worship songs, and then you're like, okay, and you're like, oh man, is this kind of unmoving, right? No, well, part of the reason why we're unmoved and why we can't receive is because we don't have the humility. And that's why we can't receive this implanted word that we're meant to receive. And some of us we haven't received because we haven't even opened God's word. Like, that's how you receive, And this word implanted reminds us of the story that Jesus used about the soils and scattering the seed, and the seed is God's word. And so we must be a people who receive. And it's a humility, and it's going to the word. It's receiving the word in all these different ways. One of the best pictures of receiving the word that I've heard recently was a story of Charles Spurgeon. She's just a really old preacher guy that preacher guys like me love, okay? And he was actually loved even back in the day, even when he was around, when he was still alive, he was loved, and people would memorize his sermons. They would like steal it, and then they would write it out, and then they would, you know, preach it back to other people. And so there was this young man who famously took Spurgeon's sermon. And it was an evangelistic sermon, and he went and gave the sermon somewhere else to a large group of people. And afterwards, all these people were giving him high fives, you know, patting him on the butt. I don't know if they really did that, but stuff like that, you know. You can imagine. People were like, wow, what an amazing sermon. We're so grateful that God would use you. And this larger old man, after everyone else had thanked this young man, this larger old man hobbles up, and he's crying. And he's thanking this young man. He's like, man, I'm so grateful that you believe in God's word and that you just taught it faithfully and you held so tightly to the word. I'm so grateful. And this young man's, you know, laughing. He's like, thank you. You know, he's just so grateful. He's like, thank you, sir. What's your name? And he said, Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon. And I tell you that story because it shows us the meekness and the humility. And it shows us that he was willing to receive God's word. Even his own sermon, he was impacted by it. Because it was God's word that was being taught. And that's the meekness and the humility. That's how we receive. We have hearts that are humble, that are soft. That's how we receive. And then there's this third bucket, which is our response. Once we receive God's word, when we listen to it, what do we do? In verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, there's this third R that we're going to look at tonight, which is simply our response. It's not just about receiving even the scriptures that I'm giving to you now. It's not just about listening. It's about responding to it. It means that when we come to the scriptures and we're learning, we don't come to the Bible to check a box. We come to the Bible to be changed. Like, we're not just here to be hearers of the word, feel better about ourselves, pat ourselves on the back, be really proud of our attendance of vertical or listening to the podcast or maybe going to church on Sunday or maybe listening to some other podcast anywhere else. It's not just about listening to it in that way. It is in some ways it's about receiving it, but then it's about our response to it as well. We don't come to the Bible to check a box. We come to be changed. We don't come to the Bible to get a grade in scriptures class. And this is where it's so meaningful. It's so real for us. We've taken tests on the scriptures. We have an entire class on Christian scriptures. But it's not about a grade. It's not about a GPA. The word is meant to transform us. It's meant to change what we do. We're meant to be doers of the word and not only hearers. What's crazy about this is James follows it up with deceiving yourselves. He's saying, like, so many of you have deceived yourselves. Like, you're talking about it, but you're not doing it. You're listening to it, but you're not doing it. This is unbelievable. As I was looking at this, I realized it's one thing to be deceived by the devil into sin. It's another thing to deceive ourselves and simply hear and never obey God's word. Whoa. Like, we can even deceive ourselves. And the image that James uses to illustrate this is beautiful, and I'll just use it as the illustration to illustrate the point, which is in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What I love about this illustration is, one, I didn't even understand this. Like, I've read this before, and it took some time for me to understand it. But now I better understand it as an older adult that's almost bald. It's that, like, I don't need to look at the mirror. Like, I look the same all the time. Seriously. Like, almost every day, I look the same. I don't have much to look at. So I look in the mirror, I'm like, okay, great. And I move on with my day, right? That's what James is saying. He is like a man. He purposefully uses the word man, like, who looks at his face and he forgets. And there's an opposite of man that oftentimes women look at a mirror differently. I mean, just let's be honest for a second. Like, when women look at a mirror, it's to change. It's like, oh, my hair doesn't look good in this place, right? Or middle part, not feeling it today, right? Other way. Or my eyelashes or something. Or my eyebrows, you gotta pluck a few things. I don't know, maybe there's some nose hairs, or that's just dudes, I don't know. Here's the deal, like, women rightly understand they're going to a mirror to change their appearance. They're gonna act on what they see in the mirror. Men, not so much. Me, not so much. I can maybe look in the mirror a little bit more. And this is the image that James is using. He's saying, don't just go to the word and be like, man, that was good. Cool. He's saying, look at the word. Let it expose where we need changing. What in our lives need to be different. How we can be a doer of this, not just read it and be like, okay. But we're meant to be a doer who acts, and he will be blessed in his doing. I love this. Our response is we come to the scriptures to be changed. And so what? We get in the word. Like, this is why the scriptures are so important. We get in the word to be changed by it. I read a stat from a study that Baylor did about students last semester. It was last year, actually. And there was a report that less than 10% of students read their Bibles daily. It was the freshman class and the senior class. And it actually was fairly true. This is last year. And I'm just saying, like, this book, it reminds us of the good news of the gospel each and every day, and it changes us. Like, this book is so important, and we don't even look at it daily or weekly or monthly. Like, some of us were just like, yeah, that's the thing I had to take the test on. We've settled for just receiving the word, but it's meaningless unless it changes us and makes us doers of the word. And so, in summary, I showed you the rebuke that James gave his people, and then really the reasons for the rebuke is because they're angry, they're filled with sin because they haven't rightly received the word of God because of their pride, and they haven't listened, and then they haven't done it. They haven't been changed and transformed by the word of God. We have our rebuke, we have receiving, we have responding. And I think, honestly, like, all of this, I can just think of my mom screaming at me, which is kind of a weird thing to think about, but I can just hear her in the back of my head. It's like, Dale, clean your room! And I'm like, you know, playing video games, watching a TV show or doing something else, I'm like, I'm not going to listen. Like, I can hear her. I'm not going to do anything about it, right? She's like, Dale, did you hear me? I told you, clean your room. And I'm like, Mom, I heard you. I'm going to do it later. And she kindly is like, no, now. And I love my mom, sweet Roberta. She's amazing. This is not about her and I's relationship. This is how we are. We hear it. but we're not doing anything about what's being asked of us. We're not responding to it rightly. And so it would take my mom rebuking me, saying, no, now, Dale, I've asked you to do this. And when I think back, the more I'm away from home, the more I realize my mom loved me. And the better understanding I have that it's the same way with God. Like this rebuke about my anger, about how I'm not slow to speak, about how I'm not quick to listen. Like this rebuke feels less hard, feels less like a burden, because I know it's from love. The love of the Father is in the scriptures. And so this rebuke is not that hard for me to receive anymore, because I'm like, it's out of love that he wants us to receive his word and respond rightly to it. And so I don't add another burden to your back today. I remind you, you're loved by the Father. As we sang about just a moment ago, we're children of God. And so rightly we respond to our fathers and our mothers when they ask us to do something, as we have in the scriptures. God loves us enough to rebuke us. And God also loves us enough to send his one and only son to die for us. And he loves us enough, and he doesn't want us to waste our lives in just listening and missing out on obedience. And so we change the world by receiving God's word and rightly responding to it in obedience. And I want to just close tonight with an invitation. And it's a very brief invitation about what we're going to do the next 3 weeks at Vertical. We're going to start a series called VertTube. It's going to be like Vertical meets YouTube, and it's going to be one of the most amazing things that we've been dreaming up this semester. We're so excited for what's to come, and we just want you to know it's going to be shorter next week, and it's the whole hope is that in it being shorter, it would just create discussions. And so if you're on the other side of the screen, I'm going to give you the same invitation that we gave our volunteers as we met earlier tonight for the very first time. And the invitation is, would you bring friends that you know are lost or lukewarm, that might not otherwise come into a room and sing worship songs? You're like, I don't know if they would be into singing in a living room. These next 3 weeks are for those people. And they're for you to step up and be thinking of, who can you invite? Who can you share this with? We're going to be looking at must ask questions. Questions that we must ask. That's what we're going to look at each and every week. And we're so excited about what it's going to look like and how it's going to be different. But I just want to put that on your radar and invite you into that. Like, do not waste the rest of the school year. There's still weeks until Thanksgiving, and let's not let up. If there are people that you haven't spent time talking to, it's okay. If you haven't talked to the person you sit next to in class, it's now time to engage with them. It's not too late. The semester isn't over. And so that's my challenge and my invitation to you. And then the last thing, as Ann Rivers said as she started the announcements, like, we have something really, really exciting in the works. We're going to be working with the university to do something far greater than Vertical could ever imagine. And our hope is to gather. I don't want to promise it, but our hope is to gather. And so follow with us, follow along what's going on. But also don't miss these next few weeks first, opportunities to reach the lost and the lukewarm on campus. And so I have an invitation, a challenge to invite others, be praying about who you should invite, who needs to see this resource that we're about to have streamed at 9 p.m. It's like, what you're going to be doing is just say, hey, why don't you come watch an episode of Vertical with me? That's what it's going to feel like. But then also, we're just really excited about the opportunity, the possible opportunity to gather. We're stoked. But also, we don't want to, we know that that's going to be in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, we want to just move Jesus forward on campus. And we want to invite you to join us in doing that. I'm going to pray that we would be a people who rightly receive God's word and that would take advantage of an opportunity to reach the campus with the gospel in these coming days. Lord, we just come to you humbly. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you would send your meek and humble son to die on our behalf. Lord, we just thank you for your word. I thank you that it does transform and renew my life and my heart, my mind. Lord, I repent of the times where I've just shown up and been numb to your word. I've had a hard heart. Lord, I pray that you would forgive all of us for the times that we have not rightly received your word and done and walked out in obedience. The times that we've deceived ourselves, Lord, would you forgive us? Or wash us white as snow for all the times we've fallen short. Will we rightly understand that you've forgiven us for those things? But there's a response to the forgiveness. So would you help us to rightly respond? And Lord, we lift up these next few weeks. As Vertical looks a little bit different, we're so excited for the way it could look and the way that others might be engaged and even more intrigued by what's going on. And Lord, I pray that you would bless discussions. Lord, that's been the bread and butter. Students having discussions with other students, spiritual discussions that give you honor and glory. Lord, I pray you would bless those discussions tonight and even in the weeks to come. And I pray that there would be people that are coming to mind to those that are listening, of people to invite that need to know you. Lord, would you use students to reach students? Would you bring the names to mind? Would you even be working in the hearts of those students even today? And Lord, we look ahead to a day to gather. But Lord, I pray we wouldn't set our eyes on something just hoping to get back to the old normal. Help us not to waste the now. Even though it doesn't feel like the good old days, Lord, would you help us not to waste now? Would you use us, Lord, to reach Waco and the world? We pray this all in your son Jesus' name. Amen.